Willoughby City Council's been doing a lot of work, starting once again with systems and then moving up. Now our speakers are Amanda and Simone. Now I gather Amanda's going to go first. So Amanda's Information Management Group Manager and Simone's Information Management Officer. So we'll find out what that means and what they've been up to. Thanks a lot.
So we are a local authority, much smaller than the two presentations beforehand. So we're located, if you don't know where Willoughby is, it's in Chatswood, 8 km north of here. We have about 25,000 rateable properties, and there's 350 staff who work at Willoughby, so we're a very small organisation compared to a lot of state government. We have a very small information management team, but it's actually quite large for local government. There's 11 of us, and we're responsible for information resources, which is the incoming and outgoing correspondence and record-keeping functions, archiving, web services, and the business improvement and training. So the type of work we're talking about here today comes under the banner of business improvement and training. And previously, until 2011, when Simone started, I'm the manager of that section, but with my responsibility as well, to do all of that work. Now, in 2011, we decided that we just couldn't do our digital record-keeping responsibilities without someone in our team responsible for it. So I was lucky enough to get an extra resource of 21 hours a week to do this massive project for us. So the strategy planning actually commenced in 2010. We sat back, looked at our digital records. We've been scanning at Willoughby Council since 2001. However, it was only the incoming correspondence that we were looking at from a digital perspective. Everything else was either still in hard copy on people's desks, or it was in the U drive. Okay, everyone has a U drive or a shared drive. And it was we've gotten information from 1999 back in those shared drives. Now, when they started them, they had a really good taxonomy. You could find things. But as people left the organisation, functions changed. We have all this information. We don't know if we need to keep it. We don't know what's in those folders. And for environmental services, which is where our development planning happens, you actually had to know the person's name to find it, to even start the process. So what we looked at is to establish a council-wide approach. How are we going to do this? We have 60 different business units in local government, so it's quite difficult. You're talking from childcare to engineering to development planning and everything else in between. We have finance, we have all those different functions, and trying to work out a way that over the whole of council we could approach this. The implementation was to do a business efficiency and minimise risk. Now, Willoughby Council didn't have an audit function as such. We had financial audit, but we didn't have internal audit until 2 years ago. We actually, when our internal auditor came on board, we grabbed him and said, OK, we need your assistance and your help. Strategy was endorsed by management in March 2012. It was meant to be a 15-minute presentation by myself to the management executive team. 3.5 hours later, I walked out of that meeting and we'd only got up to strategy number 5. It was something that they were really interested in. They really didn't understand what I was talking about, but they wanted to understand what the business was going to have to do and have to change. So it was quite pleasing and nerve-wracking, but it was quite pleasing that they said, when I walked in, we know we actually just have to do it. We don't really know how we're going to do it, but we have to do it. So it was a great effort on all of our team's behalf of actually to get management to say, OK, we don't know how we're going to do it, but we know we have to do it now. OK, so when we developed the strategy, what did we do? Well, our insurers actually came in 2010 and looked at our document management and our record keeping. They came back to us with a 20-page report on things that they thought that we could actually enhance to better do better record keeping from a risk perspective. We did a draft record keeping audit in 2012. So our internal auditor, because we jumped on him as soon as he came in, he prioritised record keeping as one of the key things that he needed to audit in his first year. Now that audit actually has 38 recommendations. It's a very big report. I sit next to the auditor and every now and again I throw it against the wall because the team's got a lot of work to do. But it made the organisation actually sit up and say, this is very important. We also went through as an organisation risk assessment and did a high risk business strategy for risk. I sat in on every single thing I possibly could and said, remember record keeping in every single one. That helped people think, for an organ, any time we're talking about information, you need to get records along to the session. We did also look at the standard digital record keeping, the short guides, the guidelines that State Records put out, and we also looked at the records management assessment tool. We took all of that together and came up with our strategy. As I said, we did do risk assessment on all the information, and we did a very high level. We thought, if we had to tackle this with our small team, how could we do it? We had uncontrolled data in the shared drives, and Simone's going to talk a bit more about that project. It's one of the projects she's been doing, working on. My operational plan for the last 10 years has had that we need to look at the uncontrolled data on the shared drives. And it has sat there in my performance appraisal for the last 10 years, and it's always been not even started. It was just too big a project for us to do on our own. We had a lot of uncontrolled data in our email systems. The information is archived. We do use an archive management service in the back end, but with that service, it's not accessible for people when they need to have it. You need to have the controls over that. We've had a document management system at Willoughby Council since 2001. We're now on to our third document management system. But we still have a really low number of registrations into the system. And we invest a lot of money into these systems, and we needed to use them more effectively. And one of the concerns that we came up with was a lot of our corporate systems now were going out into the cloud. And more concerning is that we didn't know that a lot of our information was going out into the cloud. So Simone will talk about her findings of the cloud when she comes up and talks. We thought we had a couple little databases out there. We had a lot of information that even IT didn't know. So our team doesn't sit in IT. We sit next to IT. We come under the same corporate structure. But information management is different to IT in our organisation. But even IT didn't know these systems existed. So these are the eight strategies that we came up with. The first strategy was the management of shared drives, and this is when I talked to the management executive. We talked about the shared drives for an hour and a half. They wanted to understand why we needed to get the information out of the shared drive, what were the problems with it. Data was, storage of data was cheap. You know, I can go down. One of the senior environmental services directors said, "I can go down to Dick Smith and just pick something up." And so we had to go through all that type of questions of, well, it might be cheap for you, but here at council we have to back it up, and it's much more expensive, it's much more time-consuming. Email management was our next strategy. Template management. We had, when we did an audit, about 4,000 templates in the organisation. Now, some of them had never been used. We're slowly going through and putting every template that we use in the organisation into our document management system, so they're being used there and they're being maintained with our corporate standards. As I said, we also wanted to do a high-risk business review. Image management, we have a lot of photos throughout the organisation. We had photos that people thought that were very, very important to keep. They were just 20 photos of the same pothole, but we didn't know when the pothole was there, so we had no metadata around these photos, but they were very, very important to keep. We have a lot of drainage video. Now, that's really exciting stuff to watch. Everyone go to sleep. But the engineers love that stuff. They wanted to put it in our system, but we had to make sure we can get it back out. Our electronic document management system doesn't really do images really well. That's what we've came up with. We wanted to focus on our strategy of training, education, communication. As I said, we are trying to get out there to every single person. To the extent that two of my team members I never see. So mine works 3 days a week, and I'm lucky if I see her for 2 hours in that time in the office. We're over a couple of locations, we're not too bad. We've only got about 4 locations, and we're only in 8 square kilometres, but we do need to get out there and get our message out. Process workflows was our next strategy. We haven't started working on this, but what we wanted to do was use our workflow engine. We've got workflow engines, as someone was mentioning before, in a couple of systems, but we wanted to focus on using it in one system and using it well. So to encourage people to do things more efficiently. And our strategy 8 was focus groups. We had been going out talking to the organisation, but what we wanted to do was come up with a strategy of how we were going to get people to come in and talk to us. So rather than us always going out, how were we going to get them to come and talk to us when they had a need? So I'm going to hand you over to Simone, who's going to talk about the work she's been doing in the last 8 to 12 months. Simone started an organisation on a 12-month contract. She's probably got a job for the next 400 years.
Thanks, Amanda. Good morning. My name is Simone Cable and I work at Willoughby City Council as an information management officer. I do have some background in information technology. I've worked in that for quite a number of years, and so I'm a relative newcomer to the records area. Amanda mentioned, one of my projects that I was assigned was to carry out the high-risk business system review for Willoughby Council. So I'll be presenting some information now on the actual process that I went through and providing some of my practical experiences. Willoughby Council is a much smaller scale than Endeavour Energy's organisation, so I'll just go through the process now. So the high-risk business system review was carried out between July 2011 and was completed June 2012. Over 60 systems were reviewed, and they comprised of both internally and externally hosted systems, older and redundant systems, and new future proposed systems. And reviews are ongoing for all proposed systems. Here are some of the steps that I went through within my review process, and I'll go over each one of these stages, starting with, like any project, I first began by trying to establish or estimate some time frames for the whole project and thinking about all of the processes. Some of the things for consideration were allowing for super user or system admin interview time. I averaged about 15 minutes to 1 hour, per interview. However, for external systems, the timeframes may be determined by the vendor availability and feedback, which can be quite a slow process to go through. I went through, you need a lot of time to allocate to researching the actual vendors and their products. Spending time liaising with IT to gain access to systems where required, and also talking to IT because they can provide valuable information into system aspects for review, so they can save some work and some time for you for the whole review process. You need to allocate time to collate the data and to provide the recommendations as a result of and to think up, or to come forward with the recommendations as a result of the review. Time for the reporting side of things and presenting, and also ongoing post-review work, sorry, I left one out, which is joining working groups as well for new systems. And these can be quite time-consuming and can go on for long periods of time. And it's also important to negotiate and stress the importance of record-keeping aspects during these working groups or system demonstrations. So if you're giving the project to someone, to take over like Amanda did with myself, there is a number of documentation available that you should use as a reference or starting point. And it's also a good idea to create the good working document in order to collect the review data for the project. This is a sample of summary page. It's quite small for you to read, but it's the summary page of the types of data that I did collect and how I collated it. And I'll go over each of these later on. I also had used the associated New South Wales State Records Assessment Worksheet for each one of the systems that was reviewed. This one's all yes. It was for our EDRMS. But I did use the partial because I used partial in terms of where there was just maybe one or two indications where they weren't compliant, I guess. So really they're not compliant. But yeah. Okay. So the next stage was obtaining a business system list from our information technology branch. And as Amanda mentioned, is possible. What happened during the review is that I did discover quite a number of other systems as I went through. I'm also working on the ShareDrive project, and at one stage I was looking for some additional server space, as we'd run out of server space yet again, and I was looking for large-sized files, and I came across a number of database systems on the network that IT didn't know about, and they were still being used and not used correctly, I guess. I also found a number of newly externally hosted systems that branches had just gone out and purchased without following IT policy, I guess, or council policy necessarily. Okay, so need to research the systems prior to the review and also prioritise and group the systems for the review, and grouping the systems, I guess, where the system administrator or super user is the same person for multiple systems, and that was the case for HR systems or childcare systems and some GIS systems within the council. Okay, so identifying the correct super user or system admin, it's important to interview the correct person for the review. System owners identified by IT may not always be the right person for the review and could waste time and mean incorrect information is given. Research each of the vendors' websites. This provides system information which may save review time, and it provides information regarding the future direction of the system, enhancements and upgrades. And you can use information gained from websites to predict the direction the business may take with the system prior to interviewing system admin. So it gives you a bit of an insight as to what the system admin might be thinking to do as well. You need to communicate with vendors to acquire further information. Now, with a number of our externally hosted systems, I had a lot of difficulty with a number of those vendors understanding governance issues and why we were requesting record-keeping enhancements or functionality in the first place. I had a lot of meetings and correspondence with the vendors in assisting them to understand why and what we needed to meet the requirement, and I did redirect a lot of them to the New South Wales State Records website as well. Okay, so stage two, this is the actual getting in there and going into the review, and I'll just go over some of the things, some of the processes that I went through in this. Okay, so starting the assessment, I just had, I think the first thing is to determine whether the system is hosted internally or externally. For internally hosted systems, these are some of the standard questions that I guess I came across with each of the systems. Firstly, where is the backup located? A daily backup should be saved into a secured system area by IT, and you need to make sure that any remote sites in particular are backing up securely, and who has access to that backup. So is the system stored safely? The system itself should be located in a secured network location, not stored on a local drive or shared drive area, which was the case with a number of our systems. It's important particularly that this is identified especially for remotely accessed systems. Does the system have secure access, login and passwords? So some of our old systems that were being used were being accessed by many users under one generic login and password. They need to have their own, each user needs to have their own login and password for a system. Does the system have audit logs and reporting tools? Many systems have built-in audit reports. However, some of the reports need an enhancement or creation of new reports to adequately cover our needs. Do all significant editable fields in the system have a locking functionality? So a number of fields were found in different systems that were incapable of locking once data had been edited. So the modifier date or modification information wasn't being captured. We had one system where customer inquiry data was being overwritten rather than added to. There was also no way to determine who had received the customer inquiry, entered the customer inquiry data into the database, or when they had received, entered that data as well. So moving on to externally hosted systems, where first of these are more standard questions that would come up. So where is the system hosted? Where is the actual physical location of the data centre? You need to know that sort of information. Who has access to the data and the backups? You need to know who at the data centre has access to your data at any time. Where is the backup stored? Is there a mirror server and the location of the mirror server? In some cases, backups and mirror servers can be located interstate and overseas, and therefore they're under different laws. So you need to watch out for that as well. Does the vendor have a contingency plan in place? If the vendor business fails, you need to ensure access is still available to your data at all times. Is it possible to obtain full periodic data extractions, including attachments? This, I found, requires generally a lot of discussion with IT staff of the hosting vendor to ensure that you are obtaining the correct data, especially where a record may have attachments or multiple attached documents to one record. Does the system have secure access? Again, the logins should, for external application, external systems, I found that a number of the internal staff were using the same generic logon, and it was for a system that was possibly used by many other organisations. So perhaps each organisation only had the one logon licence for that system, so it's just something else to watch out for. Does the system have audit logs and reporting tools? Again, the vendor may say that the system has built-in audit tools. You need to check these to ensure they meet all your requirements, as usually they're quite basic tools. Do all significant fields in the system have a lockdown functionality? Again, ensure that the system captures and locks data for these fields, like the notes field where customer inquiry data was being entered before. Analysing systems and providing record keeping recommendations. So these are the types of recommendations I went through and identified. Improvements to system security and logon and password. System enhancements for locking down metadata and significant fields. Enhancement to system audit reports or logs, secure location and storage of backups, new procedures for capture of metadata, additional training for correct capture of metadata, a request of periodic data extractions from vendors. There would be resulting project work, registration of significant data into EDRMS, and improvement in system locations and storage of backups. So this is relating back to the template I used to gather and collate my information. So the key data that I included was the compliance status, name and description of the system version details, system vendor, the internal system owner or administrator, comments of the system review, recommendations, the GDA classification, prioritising systems, their risk level on how critical the system was in terms of business requirements and GDA classification, and some of the systems were identified that did come out as high, which systems like childcare, Meals on Wheels, community service kind of systems, as well as HR, other systems as well. Okay. So this, again, is just the snapshot of the summary template page that I used. So the next stage, I guess, is that we went through was the reporting stage. And I was asked to produce an executive summary document, which I guess I wrote by simplifying the document by risk level, so it was quite easy for management to read. So I classified as high, medium and low range levels of risk for the systems. The next stage is presenting to the management for agreement and adoption of the recommendations. Post-review recommendation work update, so continually update and review document as changes occur and provide a periodic report to management. Propose system compliance working groups, so always ensure records is included in any working group or demonstrations for any new proposed systems into the organisation. So just in summary, it's important to find quick and workable solutions to cope with the redundant system data, find practical solutions for system recommendations, clearly define risk levels accordingly, ensure that all systems, all future systems meet record keeping compliance requirements by working with IT and branch managers, always staying in touch with business system changes and ensuring that records are involved in the contract negotiation stage for any new system. That's it.